Today's reading is from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God.
A wedding story. Oh, it feels perfect on a fall day like this, doesn't it? Yeah, perfect day for a wedding on a beautiful fall day. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. I would like to invite you to recall a wedding story, yours or someone else's. Think about that day and see if you can recall quickly, maybe, if there was a component of that day where you had to wait. Often there are those moments, the hurry-up moments at a wedding and the wait moments at a wedding. Yeah, it seems we get plenty of both. My parents have a really great wait story about their wedding, and I wish my mom could be here to tell it to you, because when she did, you can still see that look on her face of worry. 50 years later, she still has that look of shock and worry when she tells the story. The abbreviated version is that the rings were left in Pine Bluff for a wedding that was in some prairie. And more importantly, no one told her why there was a delay. You, I'm sure, can imagine some of the things that went through her head about why that day was going to start delayed. My dad is here this morning, sitting over there by the window. If you would like a more fuller version, it is a quite funny story, and he'd probably be happy to share it with you. It might be one that's best shared outside the sanctuary, if you want all the layers. When I think about the wedding that Brian and I shared together, I don't think we have a dramatic part of our story. I remember lots of times in the day where we had hurry-ups, and I remember plenty of times where I felt like we were waiting forever for something. But I don't remember anything so dramatic. I think, now that I say that, didn't something start on fire at your wedding too? Maybe it was mine. Okay, see, we need a history writer. There's something about a candle and fire. Oh, goodness. Oh, well, that's why I'm not invited to tell the stories, right? And although we didn't need oil in our lamps to keep them lit for the dance or for the cake-eating time, we did need fuel in our bodies that day for such a marathon, such a long, beautiful day. I think my modern understanding of this scripture saying, keep oil in your lamps, is keep a granola bar or two in your purse, right? Fast energy, yeah. Beyond weddings, we all have stories, times in our lives when we got hangry, right? I love that word, it's so descriptive, right? And times when our patience maybe failed, when we were tested to the max and we didn't win. Yeah, I would love to hear your stories that are like that. I know, they're probably not the ones you're supposed to tell all the time, but if you'd share them with me, I'd love to hear them. And I'd love to hear how they intersect with your faith. And if you're like me, Maybe you've never thought about how those times in your life intersect with your faith or your own understanding of God. I know I was not thinking about faith the last time I stood in a Costco line on a Saturday, and I'm probably still not ready to think about how my behavior that day might not reflect the Christian heaven that we all desire. That's a hard place, folks. Oh, three kids and one cart. Oh, my goodness. But this scripture today isn't about a Costco cart or our modern-day weddings. It's one about preparing, and it talks about a couple of different groups of people, those who were prepared for what they were asked to prepare for. From now until the time that the bridegroom came, you shall have enough light to light the way. And then there are the others who, although they were told of the time frame to prepare for, they actually over-prepared or had more than enough. They weren't only ready for the situation that happened, but luckily they were ready for this unexpected delay that also occurred. Some people look at this parable and they try to compare spenders versus savers. Others might latch on to this idea of some living life more wistfully and hopeful and others taking more time to plan. I think those of you who've already started thinking about the holidays, yeah, you might have heard while Jason was reading more of a, oh my goodness, we have to hurry up and get ready, right? It says to be ready. The scripture says, be ready, right? In fact, it ends that way. Keep awake, right? I always considered this as the get ready passage. In fact, when I feel like a congregation or myself needs a little push towards being ready for God, this is the one I turn to, right? Wake up, be ready. And don't be surprised when something expected actually happens. Oh, has that ever happened to you? When something you expected to happen, it happens and it still surprises you? Yeah. Well, Jesus is saying, don't be like that. Like if you thought it might happen and it happens, be ready. But 2,000 years after the resurrection of Jesus, many of us might not feel the same sense of urgency that the writer of the Gospel of Matthew attempts to share. That Jesus' return could come to us at any minute, and we must be ready. I got thinking about the people who maybe on a Friday night, right, are sitting by the back door of their house waiting for their loved one to return from work or from their adventure, from their grocery shopping trip. But they know that every time they come about that time, and so you can kind of expect them, right, those people who are really on routine. And so someone is sitting there by that door and just waiting to tell them the adventures of their day and to share life with them and maybe even invite them to come and sit and eat. And the person doesn't show up, right? So eventually you turn the back light on, maybe go get your own lunch, supper, sit down for a minute. Eventually you might just go to bed, still waiting, right? Now in modern day times with cell phones, we don't let this anxiousness sit too long, right? But just a few years back, we didn't have so many conveniences. The Find My Phone app not only wasn't there, but it probably didn't work right, right? So imagine if all of that were disabled or unhelpful and you were sitting and waiting for someone to come back. You might give up, right? Minutes turn into hours, which turn into days, which turn into weeks, and your head fills with worry and your heart heavy with possibilities and none of them are pleasant, right? Too many have experienced this type of end in a sad closing, right? But like the many families who served our country and the ones that we remember on Memorial Day because they're not here to honor on Veterans Day, I like to think about those who are still waiting. But friends, I don't. I'm not prepared to sit in a deep sadness with you this morning. I don't want my heart to get lost in the what-ifs, and I don't want you to be there either. But I want us to look at this scripture, not for the rabbit hole or potential sorrows that could come up, but for the idea that we don't stop waiting for Jesus. And while we do, we stay busy. I invite us to think about how if Jesus were to walk in this room right now, he would be greeted. Right? At this time, in this place. Oof. You can let your mind wander with that one too, right? But are we prepared for when our Savior actually returns to us? Are our hearts and our minds really ready? Are our actions full and a true expression of being thankful and grateful and blessed? Do you stand in the Costco line better than I do? Right? Yeah. And if you don't, what can we do about it? Wise folks have invited me to not present a problem unless I offer a solution, or at least consider helping find one. And I think that's not always possible. And today I don't know if I have anything special to share with you about how to guide your preparedness. But I do know what others have told me, what I have been taught. I've been taught that I should join with people in the house of the Lord, that I should have my Bible in my hand or near it, that I should love God's people with all of my heart and always have plenty of snacks on hand, like we do for today's meeting. Wise folks who have lived this life longer than me have given me the clues that you need to have an open mind, a willingness to invest your heart, that you need to follow in the likeness of Christ, be it showing kindness or love or forgiveness or taking rest. Wise folks have told me that the teachings of God should be written inside of you so that you can naturally be obedient to the Holy One. That we should celebrate all experiences and encounters we have with the holy mystery, with God. And that we should always be prepared to show love. If that's a tic-tac from your favorite stash, right? A smile that you can offer to someone. Or a knowing hug. Last Saturday night, I had the privilege of waiting at the airport for my Uncle Jimmy to disembark from the honor flight. He spent the day seeing the monuments and experiencing the changing of the guard at the Arlington National Cemetery, which he told me was the best part. Earlier this year, my mother's brother, my Uncle Howard, also took part in the honor flight. I got to think about what a gift this has been, this experience that they had to not only go and to see, but how they got to have a safe arrival home. My mind, of course, while I'm standing there, always wanders to those who didn't experience such a favorable homecoming. But today, in these feelings of gratitude that I'm wrapped up in, I come with this memory of my Uncle Jimmy walking and smiling and being so excited to see people he knew and loved, and to say, I saw them change the guard today. I have thankfulness in my heart for those who have served and for those who have taught me. Oh, goodness, this wasn't the crying part. Right? I have gratitude for the safe returns of life and deep feelings of being blessed. May this parable and today's stories find you in a similar frame of mind, and if you need a Kleenex, may someone offer it to you. And may you wait safely for the Savior's return, full of thankfulness, gratitude, and knowing that you have been blessed. With God's help, may it be so. Amen.